All right, y'all. This is Morgan Field, CEO, Chief Epic Sexy Life Officer, and founder of Epic Sexy You, which, as y'all know, is about creating a life that you absolutely love living and leaving mediocrity in the dust, playing full out, and living life on purpose. So today, I have with me an epic, sexy soul, Luke Kerrigan, and he is living a life that most people actually dream of, and I think that even you, Luke, are a little bit in awe of your own journey right now. And as I was talking to Luke the other day about an epic, sexy play he made recently that he's going to be sharing with us later, and I'll give you a little bit of a teaser, is he left the corporate world. He started his own business, and he's doing his own thing. He's now the SVP of Business Development for Teradyn, which is the hottest staffing and training company in the U.S., and one of the best damn souls I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. So without further ado, here is the man, the myth, the legend himself, Luke. Luke, hi, how are you today?
I'm fantastic, Morgan. How are you?
Yeah, I am awesome. I'm excited that we're connecting again today. So I'd love for us to just jump right into some juiciness and for you to tell us a little bit about the epic sexy play that you made recently.
Absolutely. I'll jump right in. So yeah, as you mentioned, I've been in the corporate world for about the past 5 years, mainly in a sales capacity for a few organizations within the staffing industry. And I've always wanted, my dream was to start something that's my own. I kind of live life by the motto of doing things that other people wouldn't ever dare to do and making it make sense for a client by doing it differently. Even, you know, when I was growing up, my mother always used to tease me about coloring outside the lines. When I was in kindergarten, they wouldn't let me go to recess anymore because I refused to color inside the lines. And that's kind of really followed me through my whole life. And, you know, when people would say, well, we can't do it that way, my first question would always be, why? Why can't we? So I had actually been working with a client almost since the beginning of my career in staffing and in sales. And they, you know, they followed me around quite a bit. And I just, you know, really kept asking that question, is why? Why can't we do it this way so it makes more sense for them? And I guess, you know, a long story short, it's amazing how quickly all of this happens, but I put an opportunity in front of them that would just make sense for them. Now, it's cutting out a lot of profit that might be on the table if it were from another vendor, but we're giving up profit margin for quantity and value. So by them not having to think about going to a different firm or saying, hey, you know, do I really want to give this to an external resource to get these hires, we priced it so that they don't have to think about it anymore and they can give us all of their business and it makes sense for them. The unique part about that is that, you know, we're able to build a business based on this and have instant cash flow. So as far as taking a leap and saying, you know, do I want to leave the corporate world, I'd say thinking outside the box like that and having a positive attitude is what actually made this a reality.
Yeah, and it happened pretty quick, right? Like, it was one of those things. Tell me a little bit about what recently were some of the key pieces that fell into place that made this a reality for you?
Sure. So I actually have a lady that had been kind of courting me on this idea of, you know, saying, well, you know, your positive attitude and everything is really contagious. I want to start a company with you. And I have these investors out on the West Coast. And, you know, I was kind of sheepish about it at first because that's a really big jump to take. You know, of course, we all have a ton of obligations, you know, mortgage, car payments, things like that. So just to take that leap is very difficult. So in order for me to have the comfort in order to make that jump, I had to make sure that I had something solid that was going to be not only profitable but sustainable laid out before I made that jump. So I just used my connections that I had previously from my sales career to approach these accounts and say, you know, is this something that you would be willing to do if I went out and started this? And I went out and I put together a solution that actually made sense for you. And you would be absolutely shocked at how quick people are to just say, you know what, absolutely. It feels like it's really come full circle at this point where I've said, where I've put enough great vibes out there. I've been the first person to be there for somebody else. And then the moment I asked them to be there for me, they couldn't show up fast enough. So having that in place, we flew out to the West Coast and talked to some investors about this. And then keep in mind, this all happened within the space of about 60 days, just from concept to actually being a solid company. And the investors said, you know what, we don't want to wait. We want to start this, and we want to start it full force on October 1st. So starting October 1st, we had already hired a bunch of recruiters and a lot of other salespeople. We have 10 employees right now. We've been open for a little under 2 weeks, and business is great. We have about $250,000 in potential revenue in the pipeline right now. And I mean, it's kind of mind-bending to think about how quickly all of this came together and the different parts that had to fall into place in order for it to come together. It's still terrifying, but I wake up with a smile every day, and I know I'm going to get it done because I won't let it fail.
Yeah, and it's like just listening to you, there's such like a masterful manifesting going on, right? Like just, I mean, I knew day one when I met you, and just a little backstory, right? So day one, I actually met Luke because I was a manager, and I was managing a sales team. I pick up my phone, and I call a director, and I said, hey, I need to hire someone today, and is there anyone that you could think of that I would hire on the spot? And he's like, oh, man, you know, you're kind of a tough cookie. Let me think about this. And he's like, no, boom, I've got a guy for you. He's just as much of a beast as you are. Like, you're going to really want this guy. And so you walk into my office and tell me a little bit, because this was one of the biggest things where I was like, I have to have you on the team, and offered you the job on the spot, was your tattoo. So tell me a little bit about the tattoo that you told me about in the job interview.
Sure, my tattoo. So tattooed across my chest, I have the words 1090 tattooed right across the front of my chest. So what that means is, you know, I'm a huge believer in actually harnessing the things that we can control and letting go of the things that we can't control. I think when I look back on my successes and failures, any failure that I had, I really got locked on what I couldn't control and things that were outside of my sphere of influence. So what 1090 means is that it's an equation, that life is 10% things that happen to you and 90% how you react to it. The only thing that I can control in any situation is my reaction. Everything else is completely out of my hands. And that tattoo really reminds me on a daily basis that, you know what, things are going to happen. And things aren't going to go my way. And, you know, still every day things don't go my way. But I think that I'm able to end up on the winning side of things just because of my reaction, how well I can control it, and, you know, just a non-dying persistence to succeed and to make it work out not only the way that I want it to, but in a way that's best for everybody involved. And I found that if, you know, the more that I kind of let that ring through my mentality and really own the 1090 phrase, that I'm really able to not let things bother me whatsoever. So, I mean, even situations where someone will say, you know what, we're just not going to do business with you anymore. A decade ago, I would have freaked out. Now, it's like I don't even hear those words. It's like I can control my reaction. I can control what goes on surrounding it. And there's going to be a best solution for everybody involved as long as I can stay in control of the things that I have control over.
Right. And like I always tell people you're the person that I always, anytime I'm talking to anyone about just like attitude. I always talk about back in the day when I was hiring people, you're the one that popped out the most because it really helped me have a framework for hiring, which was I can teach you everything I know. So if you are ready to learn, you know, I can't teach you the desire to learn, and I can't teach you happiness, right? Like, I can, now I've learned as a coach how to kind of tame the mind, right? But back then I didn't have those skills to teach someone how to view things in the way that you did. And so that was something that, like, you absolutely had walking in, that as I, you know, when you called me the other day to tell me this venture that you were doing, it quite frankly, I was like, well, of course you are. It makes perfect sense. And there was something you were telling me about the other day that I just loved. If you could tell me a little bit about the conversations that you had with the jet-setting billionaire and kind of his view on life, and then your father-in-law's view as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, this, I've always wanted to do this and to, you know, start working on my own, and I really didn't know how to do it. And, you know, pessimism is one of those things that's out there. You know, everyone will tell you, well, 90% of businesses fail within the first year, which I'm sure is true. But at the same time, there's lots of successful people out there and people that have done it the right way. So my wife's cousin's husband, actually, her dad is, you know, a self-made millionaire. He started his own company when he was 19 years old. Now he owns multiple businesses and literally his own airplanes. So we were out at his lake house at the end of the summer, and this was, of course, swirling around in my head that, you know, is this something that I do? Should I not do this? So I asked him, and I said, you know, how did you do it? And, you know, what's the difference? How do you be successful? And he said, well, here's how you don't be successful, is you don't start your own business. He said, here's the key to success. Is just start it and don't let it fail. He said those other 90% that you hear about, those are the people that just aren't going to take the leap and they're not going to do it. They might have had a great idea and they just don't do it, and then they're never able to see, you know, what their life could have actually been. And that really resonated with me, you know, that someone that was that successful said, you know what, the hardest time that you're going to have with this whole thing is just deciding to do it. So do it and don't let it fail. That's his advice. So I did it, and I mean, I'm blown away about it. I'm absolutely blown away about it. I was telling you the other day, you know, about a story I had heard about when Coronado came to the Americas, and all of his men, you know, he got them all on shore, and then right when they got on shore, he instructed them to turn around and set their ships on fire. So now they look back, you know, off the shore, and they see all the ships that they just sailed here on burning in the night. And then Coronado looks at his team and says, okay, now we have no choice but success. So either if we're leaving here, then we're leaving as winners. And if we're not winners, we're not going to leave. And I think having a mentality like that and saying, you know what, I'm not going to let this fail, really gets into your subconscious and, you know, it tells you failure is not an option. And as far as my my father-in-law goes, you know, he's a great guy. He's a corporate attorney. He's retired now. And, you know, I really value his opinion on anything that has to do with, you know, business, life. He's a very, very wise man. And I ran it by him, and there was nobody more skeptical, you know, than him about me doing this, because, you know, not only is it something that he probably wouldn't have done, you know, it just doesn't match his personality, but I'm also taking care of his daughter and all the other obligations that come with that, you know, in our marriage. So we went out to dinner with him, and he kind of gave me a talk and said, you know what, look, I had one job for 30 years. I'm worth millions of dollars now. And I think I could be worth about 10 times more had I decided to take some risk. So, you know, I'm not the kind of person that would take risks, but I'm going to tell you right now, if I had I done that, I could have been worth a lot more money today. And that was almost all the verification that I needed to know that I was doing the right thing and that there was no turning back. Just like Coronado said, you know, we're going to set the ships on fire and make this work.
Yeah, and like listening to you, just every time I hear you, it's like you do not allow others' limitations to get in your way. And what's cool is you're actually starting to even hear other people's limitations, like your father-in-law, kind of how he was adverse to risk and what that actually cost him, right? Instead of how did he benefit from not being risky, it's like, well, what did it cost him by not being risky?
Exactly. I mean, who knows how much it would have cost him for not being risky. I mean, it all turned out fine, and, you know, that's, I attribute that to, you know, of course, the wisdom that he has and, you know, how hard of a worker he is. But he could probably worked a lot less and made a much better living. I mean, everything turned out well, but you never know. And I mean, I guess another huge thing I would say is, you know, the power of attraction, the law of attraction. And yeah, I think people can really see how it works in the negative ways. So if you think about, you know, the phrase misery loves company, it's so true. Misery does. People like to complain and complain with each other. It makes them feel closer together. But what I've really figured out and what I think has made me successful, you know, Morgan, even when I was interviewing for your team, was that it works the exact same way with positivity as well. Mm. So positivity loves company even more, and they thrive off it. So whenever you're talking to somebody or whenever I'm talking to somebody, be it a potential client, a business partner, I figured out that they will mirror my optimism right in front of me, but they'll also mirror any negative feelings that I have. So it's kind of like the old saying, you know, would you rather save $1 million or would you rather make $1 million? Everyone's going to choose that they want to make $1 million, but it's the exact same thing. You're still ending up with that $1 million, but making it prompts you to action. Saving it prompts you to do absolutely nothing, and it sounds like a lot of work. So I think just spinning that optimism on people and just realizing how much optimism loves company as well really makes the difference in my life. At least I can say that that's probably the biggest difference, is recognizing that people want to be a part of that.
Yeah, and yeah, right? Like I probably can't remember much of what you told me in our interview. In fact, I just remember thinking, like, when you look from a logical perspective, right, if I'm going with looking at your resume and what your experience was, there were people that I interviewed that had a lot more experience than you that could have come in with less of a learning curve. I didn't care about that, because where I was thinking was, like, you're going to be fun to hang out with. We had to travel together. You know, I was thinking, if I have to spend a lot of time with this person, am I going to have a good time? I was thinking, could this person learn? How quickly could this person learn? It's not necessarily about how much do they have to learn, but how quickly. And are they going to have fun doing it? And so usually when you have fun, you learn things faster. You end up performing better. Happy employees are productive employees, right? And it was just like, I knew all of these things. And so from that kind of that perspective, it was like, yeah, that's where I got to go. You actually sent me the other day to a text message about really kind of getting what you ask for in life. Can you tell us a little bit about what you sent me and kind of how that's played a role in your life as well?
Absolutely. And I'll read it to you for you as well. It's a poem that was actually written, I want to say probably in the 30s, by James Rittenhouse. And it's all about your perspective and getting what you ask for. So it's basically saying that, you know what, if you're gonna say that you're just going to stay in the position you're in, then that's all the money you're going to make, and that's the position that you're going to be in for life. But life doesn't necessarily work that way. Nobody's really held back. We're really held back by ourselves. So you're going to get what you command and what you work for. And I'll read the poem right now. It goes, I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged at evening when I counted my scanty store. For life is a just employer. He gives you what you ask. But once you have set the wages, you must bear the task. I worked for a menial's hire, only to learn dismayed that any wage I would have asked of life would have willingly paid. And I think, you know, it's so powerful to think about that, that if you command something from life, you can absolutely have it. And that's just the way that life works. And I mean, there's so many examples of people doing it in other scenarios. And I feel like I'm a big example of that. And I mean, going back to when we were interviewing, you know, I was not the top choice to have that job. So I had to do other things like control my personality and optimism. I mean, I don't even have a college degree. I never even went to college. It just wasn't something that, and I mean, I guess it interested me. Certain things about it interested me, but I just never really had the desire to, you know, compile a cache of miscellaneous knowledge, I guess. And it was one of those things that if it didn't really interest me, then I just wouldn't do it, which maybe means that I'm stubborn, but, you know, I had a lot of competition going for me, and I think the only reason why I've ended up where I have already is just because of, you know, what I demand from life. And I'm always optimistic that there's always greener pastures. Things are better. They will get better. And you only get what you ask for.
Yeah, that's so true. I always, when coaching with clients, it's always taking a look at what you tolerate is what you get, right? So wherever your standard is or your bar of expectations and or toleration, allowance, whatever, right? Your standard in life, whether it's monetary standard, whether it is a romantic relationship. So, you know, this kind of really trickles into all areas of your life is the level that you set the bar is the level that you get because people will either step up or drop off, right? Or with a business that you're like, you're going to find if you're going after something financially, right? You're going to figure out a way to get there if you have a goal to get there, right? You're a great example of someone who didn't necessarily have the pieces that others felt would be limitations, right? Like when you said you didn't have a college degree, that wasn't even anything I ever even looked at. Like I didn't even look at, I wasn't, because I was really filtering with some other key pieces that I think even in the corporate world are pieces that we filter by, but there are limitations at least that are perspective limitations that sometimes we have where we think we need to be a certain way instead of, as you said, stopping and looking at, okay, instead of who do I need to be in order to get that, right? It's just like, what can I do? What can I control? How can I show up in a different way than and actually accepting the situation as it is, not as I want it to be? And handling things from there.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, that's the perfect way to put it. And, you know, thank you for not looking that I didn't have a college degree, by the way, during that interview, because
I didn't care.
We wouldn't be talking right now if you didn't give
that's
me that
right.
job. And, of course,
right.
I really appreciate it. And I learned so much from that. There's even a story, you know, about taking that position. You know, I know the person or persons before me that had the exact same book of business, they didn't have a lot of success with the exact same clients. And I think that, you know, they were more experienced than I was. They definitely had a college, at least I think they had a college degree.
They did.
The only difference that I could say was between the two of us was just my outlook and my optimism and just saying, no, yes, this is going to work. This is going to be great. If they didn't have a lot of success in that book of business, then that means it's about to pop. And pop it did. I mean, if it weren't for us meeting that day, if it weren't for, you know, the director sending me over there and you and I hitting it off, in that book of business was the organization that my company right now is built upon.
Yeah.
And I would have never even known them. I wouldn't have known them. I wouldn't have known of them. So many things had to fall in place. And it was years until I even recognized the opportunity that we had from that stemmed from that book of business.
Yeah, and this is such a validation of your story dictates your reality. And, you know, some people are like, oh, that's kind of woo-woo. Or, you know, when you talk about the power of attraction, law of attraction, sometimes people roll their eyes. And it's interesting, though, because the girl who had the book of business before you, her story that she was just so stuck by, and the ego will find ways to prove you right. Her story, and she would say it to me all the time. Every time we would sit down and have a one-on-one, a weekly kind of review, how can we move you forward, what's going on, it was always, you know, I really need new accounts, my accounts suck, there's no opportunity in them. And then it was always like, you know, I feel like you're setting me up to fail, nothing was ever her fault. She was always kind of blaming. And I had also had some of those opportunities when I was a rep before I became a leader in the company. So I actually knew that there were golden nuggets, but I view things very differently. And again, back then, I didn't really know how to get someone to shift their energy, or to shift their, you know, from kind of having this story and these limiting beliefs into more of optimism and positivity. So I had to work within the confines of what I had, which I found I was really good with. I could teach. I was really, really good at teaching new things. So I didn't mind teaching someone, but I didn't know how to teach someone how to be happy and how to create a story that was going to set them up for success. And within less than the exact same book of business, I didn't touch it. I just literally handed it from her to you. She left. You came in. Her, this book of business is crap. There's no opportunity. Poor me. You hate me. Why are you treating me like this? And then you came in, exact same book of business, and I think you pretty much hit your annual quota within the first 30 days.
Yes, it was within the first 30 days. I remember the account, and I remember they spent $12,000. And it was just a renewal coming up, and I was just being, you know, optimistic Luke, I guess, and just calling everyone I could and trying to get the right people into the meeting. Like, I didn't really pitch anything. You know, I just said, there's a solution out there that'll work for you. Let's, you know, let's work together to figure it out. And I remember, Morgan, it was my first outside appointment ever at that company. And I remember you saying, you know, you were like, don't worry about it. They're going to love you. Just go in there. And I was slightly nervous, you know, but it was in the Chicago area. So I was able to just drive over there. And the conversation lasted for about 20 minutes. And they had agreed to go from $12,000 a year to $100,000 a year, which, to put in perspective for everybody on the call, was about 80% of my quota for the entire year.
Yeah.
which was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. I mean, it was life-changing just to go in there and see that happen. And crazy to think that it came out of that exact same book of business. And just like you said, like, it was within 30 days that that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, it just is such a, gosh, it's just so interesting when you look at that. Not a single thing. The only thing that changed was the person that went in there. Because I even remember, I mean, if you think about it, right, like, the person before you connected with them, but either didn't set up the meeting or, like, didn't take action. To your point of, right, this whole, what it's funny, whenever I think of trying to describe who he is, I just think of, like, your baby daddy, sister, cousin's mom, because the way you describe it, it's, like, so far removed. But the guy with is, you know, you do it, you don't let it fail, right? And so that's a big thing that I watch with you, is you're a doer. And it's actually what I watch with a lot of really successful entrepreneurs or anyone who is chasing their dreams, is they don't get really caught up on, yes, they think, but they're more of do it. They're a doer, right? They may think in tandem with doing, but they lean more heavily on the side of doing than thinking, or thinking and doing are a pair in a team. Whereas where I see a lot of people not take the leap off the edge, and or take the leap and then, you know, leave corporate and then have to go back into a corporate, are the people who get lost in the thinking. People who get lost in the fears, people who get lost in the resistance that comes up, and they're not doing the things that it takes to move them towards their own soul's fulfillment. And that's what you do that really sets you apart, is you're a doer. Like, you know, in less than 30 days, you went, you set up a meeting, you got out there, you had the conversation, you connected with the right people, and you made things happen very quickly because you took action.
Sure. And I appreciate that. I mean, I think it also comes down to, you know, excuses. I think our mind validates excuses so quickly and efficiently that we almost feed them to our brain ourselves, you know, like, oh, I'm just going to feed my brain this excuse, and that'll validate why I don't have to do anything about this problem. Where if, you know, if you use like the 1090 thing, like my tattoo, and just completely cut off the excuse and just not even think about it and not let your mind validate it, then all your mind really has left to think about is how to make it work, you know, or how to come up with a solution. And there is a solution for absolutely everything. But those excuses can really, you know, our mind will put in the exact same horsepower into thinking of an excuse and validating that as it will into figuring out a solution. So if you can cut off the part that thinks about the excuses and your mind validating that, then your mind is going to take that same energy and just put it towards the solution. I've heard, you know, a lot of people in the past say, well, it's all about luck and being in the right place at the right time, which I can tell you 100% is definitely true. But there are ways to not only create your own luck, but to put yourself in the right place at the right time so that these magical things can just happen. And it looks like they all happen on their own. But the reality is that you were so busy thinking of the solution and not coming up with excuses that you just put yourself in the right place at the right time. And it seemed like it came up as being lucky, but there were so many things that had to be done in order for that to happen that it just almost surprises you when it does. And I feel like that's kind of what happened to me is, you know, I just kept tirelessly working at putting myself in that right situation that, I mean, it's still shocking me. I'll be completely honest with you. I'm still shocked at it.
I know. I when we were talking the other day, I could tell how in awe of what was going on in your own life you were of your own existence. Because it is. It's really, really cool, like, what you've created and how quickly you created it. And even just listening to you talk about this last piece of kind of really going to the solution and how that helps you constantly move forward instead of getting stuck. And I think we were talking about this the other day, this whole, I don't remember where I saw it. It was probably on Instagram or something, but I saw this quote that was talking about the word that was used is possibilitarian, right? And so it's like becoming a possibilitarian, like endless possibilities and feeding your energy there. You have two choices in life. You can either be that, or you can be the person that finds a problem for every solution. Either way, it's a choice. And whichever one you choose, it's really going to dictate. Again, this goes back to the stories you choose to feed your brain. It's really about the excuses, the stories, the what are you choosing to focus on and what are you choosing to feed the brain and starting to really pay attention to, am I feeding myself excuses? Am I accepting others' limitations as my own? Am I hearing ideas all day and not writing them down and doing anything about them, right? Or what can I, it's like those tiny, tiny little tweaks. It's like, where can I spend more time focusing on solutions? Where can I spend more time thinking about possibilities? How can I train my brain to start thinking, but what if I could? Not give me all the reasons I can't, changing the primary question to, but what if I could? Changing the primary question that you're asking yourself to, what are all the ways that I might be able to make my dreams happen? If I was to take one step forward, what might that look like? And just allowing your brain to feed you new things than the current autopilot that's actually kind of toxin to your body and really breaking down your dreams instead of building them up.
You know, it's totally true, and that was very nicely said. You know, I mean, the brain is incredible, and it only eats what we feed it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, just like you said, like working towards goals and everything, working towards something positive, as long as you're working towards something positive, something good's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us could ever predict, like, what that might be, you know, or what it might look like. We, of course, have our own ideals that we think about in our mind. But, you know, the negativity will ensure we never get there. But if you just put something in your mind that you want and positively work towards it, you know, and, you know, keep your momentum going and your optimism up, then something good is going to happen. You're just putting way too much good out there into the world. for it not to come back to you. And I think, you know, I really like that you pressed upon the choice, you know, and that kind of brings it all back to the 1090 as well. Because, you know, every second of every day, you're absolutely right. I'm not talking about the big choices in life. I'm talking about the little ones, you know. Do I harp would you harp on a bad thought that came into your mind? Or if somebody else dropped the ball, are you going to think about how they dropped the ball and, you know, like, oh, screw them? Or, you know, are you going to make the choice in your mind to actually come up with it, you know, tell them it's okay and fix it? Because that's a choice that you have. You can either fix it or you can sit there and dwell on it. And that's a choice that I think, you know, in our minds we're confronted with, you know, it's got to be hundreds of times a day that we have a choice of what we can feed our mind.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's, yeah.
You know, I think that's the biggest obstacle right there is just choosing what you're going to put into there. And it's amazing what comes out of it, you know?
Mm. Yeah, and on that point, one of the questions that's coming up is, you know, earlier you were talking about how you're still terrified, right? And so it's how have you created your relationship with fear? Obviously, you've made a choice around how your relationship with fear is and is going to be. Tell me just a little bit about that.
Sure. So, I mean, this is a lesson that I learned that has helped me almost more than anything, I would say. And the thing about fear is that it's only a reaction to what we think reality is going to be like if something does or does not happen. So the way that I cope with fear and how I kind of brush it to the side is I sit down and think to myself, okay, is this really that bad? Is the result really that bad? So, you know, you can put it in any perspective that you want. You could say, okay, well, if you have in a relationship, is there a fear of, is there a fear of not having a significant other in your life? Then convince your mind that it's okay for you to be alone. Or if you're scared of death, convince yourself that, you know, death is okay and prepare yourself for that. If it's not having enough money in your life and that's what you're scared of, then, you know, be okay and be at peace with living with less. And when I really, you know, deal with that and I say, okay, well, what if this doesn't work out and I don't have the amount of money that I have? Well, if I tell myself, you know what, that's fine, I'm just going to live within my means better and learn to live with less, then I'm not scared anymore because I'm okay with, you know, the result that I feared in the first place. And,
yeah, and
you know, go ahead.
No, sorry, go ahead.
I was saying fear is one of those, I mean, fear is mind dominating. You know, mm-hmm. Fear will dominate your mind all day and night. Well, I can't speak for everybody else, but at least I know it will for me. If I don't figure out a way to cope with it and be okay with the result that I was scared of in the first place, then it might take up half of my thoughts for an entire day.
Oh yeah, it's consuming, right? It's definitely consuming. And one of the things is that's really tricky about fear is, well, first of all, I wrote that down. I loved when you said it's just the reaction to what we think reality may or may not be like, right, if something does or doesn't happen. And it's just like, wow, that's a really simplistic framework of fear that I haven't really found those words specifically, so I'll be stealing those, thank you. But right. I love that, right? And then there's this element of what's super tricky is, and I actually see this with clients a lot, they have, with their fears, they've actually done the coming to grips with the thing that they're afraid of to the point where it becomes an excuse to not go after the thing that they're afraid of. So it actually is still a fear. It's just like this really tricky fear thing. So it sounds like for you that has really worked to say, okay, how can I release the power of the fear by being okay with the thing that I'm afraid of? And for each person, it's going to be something a little bit different. And that's a first step to really release the power. And I'm only saying this because I know that some people listening are going to be like, well, you know, I'm okay being alone forever. And it's like, right, but what do you really want? Do you want to be alone forever? And it's like, no, then it's like, really the fear is in the rejection, right? The fear is somewhere else. And so it's just, fear is really tricky, right? Because it's not necessarily the fear of being alone forever. There's something that's stopping you from going to get that thing. Yes, it may be being alone forever, but then some people are like, well, then I'm just going to be okay with that. And then that becomes their new story. Like, well, I'm going to be alone forever. And then that manifests being alone forever. So fear is just one of those really super tricky cycles that can, to your point, be incredibly consuming. And all of the things that we have talked about are ways to really tame that mind so that you are in the creator seat of your life, that you're living on purpose instead of being at the effect of life and really handing your power away and saying, well, I don't really have any choice, and kind of playing victim to life instead of saying, well, actually everything is my choice. And so even if you're in a situation that's not ideal, you're choosing to be in that situation. You can choose to leave it. And or if you are really stuck in it, then it's like, then you can choose how you approach it and all of the ways to think of how you could get out of it and just really becoming, focusing on a solution and being a possibilitarian, if you will. So the other cool thing I'd like to talk about before we wrap up here is the name of your company and why you named it that.
So the name of the company, Terradyn. So this went through and it was one of the toughest things I've ever done in my life was, talking to our investors and business partners about a name for the company. And I didn't realize this going into this, but the what you name a company today in 2015 is literally at the peril of what's available in a .com domain. .com domains are $3 a piece. So anyone with a creative brain has gone out there and thought of all the cool, hip, and catchy names that I could have thought of, and already bought them, and now they're selling them for thousands and thousands of dollars. So this actually came from our CEO. Her name's Lisa. And it's an old Arabic word named Terradyn. And there really is no literal translation to English, but loosely translated, it means you win, I win. Is a compromise where both people win. So, of course, this wasn't taken, and we jumped on it right away because that's what we really want as our business, is we want everyone to walk away with a feeling that both of us won. We want people to be happy to give us their business, and we want to be happy about every deal that we make as well. So I think it really sums up, the you win, I win phrase. Is all summed up in one word as Terradyn. And, it's really cool how that worked out as well.
Yeah, and it's a further confirmation of the type of business it is, the type of character behind the business. We've talked about this the other day. I don't think I'm sure there are companies out there that have heart and passion, right? In the industry you're playing in, the staffing and training industry, I haven't really seen a name like that with that intention behind it, which is literally, right, win-win. How can we all win? And that really goes back again to sometimes you do have to color out of the lines, and sometimes you do have to get incredibly resourceful and really think in ways that others are not thinking in order to come up with solutions where everyone involved wins. It is that complete possibilitarian effect, if you will. And it's how you live your life. It's how you created this business. It's how I know it's the foundation of the business. It's also how I know the business will continue to grow. And I would definitely, before we wrap up, please tell the tribe that's listening today where they can find the best damn staffing and training team on the face of this planet. Where can they go to find you?
You can find me at Terradyn.com. That's Terradyn.com. Again, it's Luke Kerrignan. And my line is always open. If anybody that's listening or listens to this in the future just wants to have a conversation, or, you know, tell me what they're dealing with, or even brainstorm on solutions together, no matter what the problem is. I always have time for that. You know, I love talking to people and hearing everybody else's story, and I'm sure that I can learn a ton from everybody else as well, so I'd never turn down that opportunity.
Awesome. Yeah, and that kind of answered the final piece, I guess, or question, which is, you know, who should reach out to you and your team? You just answered kind of on a personal level, which is awesome. On the level of a potential client for your organization and or for someone who's looking for a job, or who are the people that should reach out to you and your team?
So absolutely. Anybody that might be looking for a job, if you have a specific skill set and you just want a different opportunity, we can absolutely skill place you. There's organizations out there that we actually span the whole recruitment life cycle. So if you're just looking to pay a small percentage of someone's annual fee just to get a one hire, you know, like a one-off hire, that's fine. We can work with that. If you need us to augment your team, if your recruiters, you know, are having trouble sourcing candidates or just getting people in the door, we also have solutions to help people get in the door like that as well. We also do training, organizational development, OFCCP trainings, just basic recruiter trainings. You know, our consultation fee is absolutely free, and we'll be the first ones to tell you. We'll point you in the right direction every time, even if the answer isn't us.
Yeah, and let me just, like, validate that. Yes, absolutely, 100%, because that's your character. That's who you are. And so I can totally vouch for that about you, having known you for years now on a personal level, having worked with you on a professional level, and just being alongside you on your journey. You know, this really is a team, your entire team, with heart and soul, and it's a team that really cares, and it's a team that is going to have a lot of fun. It's a complete rarity. I've never really seen anything like it in the staffing and training space, and it's led by one of the most amazing, loving, charming, funny, charismatic, passionate, high energy, brilliant souls I've ever had the immense pleasure and honor of knowing, which is you. So please definitely reach out to Luke if there's a fit. I can promise you, you are in good hands with him. And my final question for you would just be, what advice would you have for someone who has dreams of their own, whether it's following in your footsteps, but they aren't really sure how to go about doing it, or maybe they're on that ledge and they're wanting to take that leap, but something's holding them back. What's the advice you'd give them?
You know what? I'd tell them just to, I wouldn't say just leap in and do it with nothing else, but go ahead and put yourself in a position to be successful and be lucky. Put yourself in the right place at the right time. And then when all the stars align, don't dwell on it. Just do it. Just absolutely do it. If you're scared about it, be okay. If you're scared of failing, be okay with failure. And then just don't let yourself fail. That'd be my only advice. You know, okay. Even right now, I'm scared about failing. But if I do, then, you know what, I'm okay with going back to the corporate world. But I'm not going to let myself fail, so that's never going to happen. So that would be my advice.
Okay, so then I guess I lied because I have one more question that came up from that. Is how do you define failure?
How do I define failure? So, I guess that's different in every single situation, right? And that's a really tough question, Morgan, because there's always going to be setbacks, you know, every single day. But I wouldn't necessarily think those are a failure. It's all in the way you look at it. It's all in the optics you use and how you look at it for yourself. So I think it's kind of a weird way to answer your question, but I'll compare it to Thomas Edison, who actually went through 2,000 different prototypes to make a light bulb. And after he actually came up with a successful design for his light bulb, someone asked him, they said, "Wow, you know, Thomas, you failed 2,000 times trying to make this light bulb. What kept you going?" And his response to them was, "I never failed. I just found 2,000 ways not to make a light bulb.
It's one of my favorites, like one of my absolute favorites. And failure really, from listening to how you kind of live life is, failure is not doing it. Failure is doing
nothing,
right? Like, because if you're always doing something, you always have an opportunity to learn and grow, kind of the Thomas Edison, story, which is funny because you see some quotes with 2,000 and some with 10,000, so there's lots of different, but like at the end of the day, the actual concept of, it really depends on how you define failure, and that really will change your ability to achieve things beyond your wildest dreams, because to you, you're someone who looks at a setback as just that. It's just a setback. It doesn't mean I fail if something happens. It just means I have an opportunity to learn something from that. You go back and you're like, okay, what did I learn? How can I grow? How can I incorporate that in the next light bulb, if you will, that you try creating? So, all right. So this will thank you so much. I super appreciate it.
Of course.
And this is Morgan Field of Epic Sexy You signing off this edition of Epic Sexy Souls with Luke Carignan. Crap, I always get your name wrong. sorry, love. Carignan. And he himself is an Epic Sexy Soul. He's the SVP of Business Development for the hottest staffing and training company in the U.S., Terradyn. And you can find him again at www.terradyn.com. Is that right?
You got it.
All right. And as we sign off here, I am sending all of my tribe vibes of inspiration and love and laughter and growth and chasing the things that light your soul on fire. So mic is dropping. We are out. Peace.